Let us read again in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. The famous French Reformation minister Massillon said, I don't want people leaving my church saying, what a wonderful sermon, what a wonderful preacher, but I want to hear them saying, I will do something. I wonder how many times you have left church with that on your mind. I will do something. That's the great purpose of hearing and reading the Word of God. As somebody put it, creeds should lead to deeds. Faith should lead to works. We'd like to ask three questions which will hopefully help you to identify which category you fall into. First of all, are you a hearer? Are you a hearer of the Word of God? Now, it is a great thing today especially to be a hearer of God's word. But it is a rare thing. It's rare if we compare, for example, the numbers in church hearing the word with those outside of it. But is it not also rare if we were able to compare those who are in church and hearing, as opposed to those in church and not hearing? We're told here by James in verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Are we not much better at reversing the order? We are swift to speak and slow to hear. It's one of the most remarkable experiences of being a minister when you travel around, perhaps on a bus or a train or whatever, and people might ask you, what do you do, or whatever. You say you're a minister. Now, if that was somebody else saying, well, I'm a librarian, or I'm a secretary, or I'm a joiner, the person would then ask, well, what do you think of such and such a book, if you were a librarian? Or what do you think of such and such a building, if you were an architect? People would ask you about your area of expertise or special interest. You wouldn't begin to tell the architect how to design a building. You wouldn't begin to tell a shepherd how to raise sheep. And yet, when people hear that you're a minister, you very rarely get a chance to get another word in. Instead, you have to listen to the expert opinions, often of those who have maybe never even been in a church, never even opened a Bible. Somebody put it like this: it's a strange fact that the only subject of which one can know absolutely nothing without special teaching from on high is the only subject upon which the worst of the children of darkness thinks himself qualified to pronounce. Is that not your own experience? Many of you here, you know a lot of truth, you've read a lot of books, you've heard a lot of sermons, you have a tremendous fund of knowledge. Meet a person who knows nothing about God, do they ask you? No, they tell you. They know all about the Bible and they've never read it. They know all about Christianity and they've never studied it. They are swift to speak and slow to hear. And is this not a trap that we can so easily fall into? How rare it is to find a swift hearer, somebody who speeds, who accelerates to listen to the Word of God, who will take every opportunity to be in the means of grace, who will speed to listen when they find out you're a Christian, or you're a minister, or you know a little about God, and about Christ, and about salvation. Maybe if you were in a lecture theatre, or a classroom, you'd be swift to hear what the lecturer or the teacher's saying. But come to church, oh, how slow the ears become. So it's a good thing, it's a wonderful thing, it's a rare thing to be a hearer. It's a great thing to be a hearer, especially a swift and speedy, eager hearer of the Word of God. Why is it that it's so important? Well, firstly, because it's truth. Verse 18, we're told, of his own will, of God's own will, begat he us with the word of truth. A rare thing again in the world today. Truth. This isn't just opinion. This isn't just a faith. This is the truth, the only truth, and nothing but the truth. Therefore, surely, I will speed to hear this. But it's more than truth. It's transformational truth. As verse 18 says, what does God do with this word of truth? He begats us. He brings about what is called here a new birth, a regeneration. In verse 21, we're told about the word is able to save your souls. Able to save your souls. It's not just truth, it's saving truth. Therefore, surely again, we will exclaim, I will be swift to hear. John Brown of Haddington said, my soul has found inexpressibly more sweetness and satisfaction in a single line of the Bible than all the pleasures of the world could equal. Isn't that wonderful? More pleasure in one line of the Bible than all the pleasures of the world. What a word. And yet, listen to McShane's words to his beloved congregation. Many of you came to the house of God today who would rather lose house, home, friends than have a work of grace done in your hearts.
true. You'd rather lose your house. You'd rather lose your friends than have this word work savingly in your heart. Are you a hearer of the word?
And if you can answer yes to that, it's wonderful. That's a massive step. That's a great, it's a rare thing. So you answer yes. Here's the next question. Are you a forgetter? Oh yes, you see, I'm a hearer. But are you a forgetter? Because we read here of someone who is a hearer only. That's all they do. They hear only. They are mere hearers, mere listeners. That's all it is. In fact, it goes on to describe this person. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. He beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer. So you see, some people think, it is enough if I hear. It is enough if I hear sermons. But it's nowhere near enough. You can be the most attentive listener to sermons. You can listen to a sermon a day, 10 sermons a day. You can do nothing but listen, and it will never profit you. Look at this man here in more detail and ask yourself if you're like him. What does he do? He comes, he hears the word, and we're told here that this is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. Here we've got a mirror. And here we've got a man who comes up, and we're told he looks at his natural face, the face he was born with, the face of his nature. He looks at that face in the mirror. And then he turns away. And what do we read of this man? He beholds himself, he goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You think, the man's a fool. How foolish can you be to go and look at yourself in a mirror, turn away, and then think, what did I look like again? What did I see? You think, that's impossible, surely. And yet, here James tells us that's exactly the description of the person who comes, who hears the word, and who goes and does nothing else with it, who's a hearer only, who's a forgetful hearer. What does he do? Well, here's the mirror of God's word. And this man comes up to it, and he looks in the mirror, and he sees the face of his nature. He sees the face he was born with. This is an expression describing the spiritual state of this person, born with this nature, this sinful nature, an unchanged sinful nature. It doesn't matter how old he is. He might be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. It's still the face of his nature. He looks and he sees it. And what does he see? He sees wrinkles, he sees spots, he sees blemishes, he sees problems, he sees deformities. He looks, he turns away. He looks and he sees himself in the light of God's word, a sinner, offensive to God. He sees all the faults and failings in his life. He hears the law of God preached. He feels exposed. He sees his need. He's convicted. He walks out the door. And he can't even remember what he saw, what he heard. He's equally foolish. Is he not more foolish Is he not more lacking in wisdom? How can this be? Well, one of the reasons is that the looking here is the word for glimpsing. It's not a study, it's a glance. This word here, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself. It's a brief look, a quick look. He's maybe come with no intention of hearing the word of God, but he's heard it. And it's hit home. He's heard what he least likes hearing, but most needs to hear. But it's only been very brief. It's hardly caught his attention. He beholds, he goes his way. Goes back to his old way of life. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. For that split second, he was in church. She was in church. She was hearing the word. She felt exposed. She saw her natural face. Not the face that she would like to see. Not the face she portrays to others. Not the face that others see. But the face that God alone sees. She saw it for a split second. She glimpsed the face of her nature. But as soon as she walked out the door, gone. She went her way. No change. No deeds. A mere hearing. A mere listening to the word of God. A momentary insight. And then gone. Does this describe you here tonight? Does it not describe you? Many Sabbath nights, how many times you've sat here and in many other churches and you've gone and the minister's held up the mirror of the word of God. You've tried not to look, you've tried not to listen, but the word has got through. That's me. Look at my hideous nature. Look at what I'm truly like. I don't want to look in that mirror, but I cannot but look in that mirror. But it doesn't last. And now, how many sermons, how many impressions, how many glimpses like that you were given, and you can't remember a one of them because you did nothing with them. You did nothing with them. Straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Here's a contrast. Here's a contrast. But, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the first question was, are you a hearer? Second question, are you a forgetter? And the third question is, are you a doer? A doer. There's a beautiful passage, maybe some of the children are familiar with it, in Pilgrim's Progress, the section dealing with Christiana and Mercy. They arrive in the Delectable Mountains, and they're under the care of the shepherds. And the shepherds had shown them many things and taken them back to the palace and entertained them. But Mercy, being a young and married woman, longed for something that she saw there, but was ashamed to ask. Her mother-in-law then asked her what she wanted, for she looked as one not well. Then said Mercy, there is a looking glass or a mirror hanging up in the dining room, off which I cannot take my mind. If therefore I have it not, I think I shall miscarry. Then said her mother, I will mention thy wants to the shepherds, and they will not deny thee. But she said, I am ashamed that these men should know that I longed. Nay, my daughter, said she, it is no shame but a virtue to long for such a thing as that. Now the glass was one of a thousand. It would present a man one way with his own features exactly. And turn it but another way, and it would show one the very face and similitude of the Prince of Pilgrims himself. Yes, I've talked with them that can tell, and they have said that they have seen the very crown of thorns upon his head by looking in that mirror. They've seen the holes in his hands, his feet, and his side. They've seen him living and dead, in earth and in heaven, in a state of humiliation and in a state of exaltation, coming to suffer and coming to reign. What are they speaking of? But the mirror of the Word of God. Here are people who are not just hearers. Here are people who are not forgetters, but they are doers of the Word. So here we're dealing with what we might call the department of practical theology. And we all like to think maybe we know a bit of theology. And many think, yes, I systematic theology is my thing. Another says biblical theology. Another, oh no, Old Testament theology, or New Testament theology, or pastoral theology, and all these kinds of theology. But how few are in the department of practical theology? How few are doers of the Word? Is that not a very empty classroom? But here we have it, set out for us here. What characterizes the study of people in the department of practical theology? First of all, there is a humble study of the Word. When we read here in verse 25 of somebody looking into the perfect law of liberty, that word for looking into is literally stoops down, bends down into. And is that not the posture which must be adopted for profitable study of the Word? This is the posture that will lead to doing, a humble hearing of the Word. This is why in verse 21 the apostle speaks of receiving with meekness the engrafted Word. With meekness, a teachableness, humble study. Then this is an earnest study. Where do we get that from? Well, the word here for looking into the perfect law of liberty also can be translated who peers into, who looks closely at something, who views it with a view to studying it minutely. And again, is this not the kind of study that leads to doing? An earnest, not a half-hearted, but a whole-hearted study of God's Word. And then thirdly, this must be a patient study. Notice it says, and continueth therein. You know the verbs translated here for the forgetter are a tense which suggests a one-off moment. It's like a dot. So when we read of him beholding, going, forgetting, it's like dot, dot, dot. Split second, flashes of activity. But the tenses of the verbs here for this man that studies humbly and eagerly, it's not a dot, but a line.
It's a continuous process. He continues therein. The Bible doesn't yield its secrets to sporadic study. It doesn't yield its treasure to those who are just going to try now and again. It yields its treasure to the patient, persevering study of the Word. And then also, this must be a reverent study. Notice it says here, he looketh into the perfect law of liberty. This is someone who doesn't come to the Word of God to criticize or find fault. He comes with a high view of Scripture. It is perfect. It is flawless. But also it's a liberating study. You think that sounds a real grind. That sounds boring. No, look what it says. He looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Isn't that a contradiction, you see? Law and liberty? How can you have law and freedom? Surely, these are contradictions. Is that not what the world says? Give me freedom. Throw off God's law. Get rid of these shackles, these chains. And give us freedom. Let us be. But no, here, law, God's law, and liberty are linked. The Word of God liberates us from sin, liberates us from guilt, liberates us from the fear of death, liberates us from damnation and everlasting destruction. Oh, what a perfect law of liberty! This is a liberating study. This also is a practical study. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. When he sees a duty, he does it. He doesn't put it off. Doesn't say tomorrow. Doesn't say if I can fit it in. Doesn't say if nothing else gets in the way. He doesn't try and excuse or find reasons why he shouldn't. He looks. He sees, he hears, he understands, he does. He does. He's a doer of the work. And notice about this doing. You think, well, to do God's word, to follow it through with all its consequences, oh, surely that's a miserable life. Well, what does the Word of God say? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed in his deed. Not blessed in promising to do. Not blessed in planning to do. But blessed in doing. Oh, you see, where's blessing? Blessing is here, in the deed. In following God's word, in believing in Jesus Christ, in turning from our sins, and casting all our hopes of eternity upon Him. Here is the greatest deed of all, which in a sense is a ceasing to do. This is the paradox, isn't it? Wasn't Jesus asked, What work shall we do that we might work the work of God? Here he says, it's what you do. Believe in him he has sent. And so the first deed is a not doing. Isn't that strange? Isn't that mysterious? The first deed we must do to be blessed is to stop doing. Stop doing what is never going to save us. Stop doing what is offensive to God, trying to stitch together our own righteousness. Stop doing what he's commanded to be stopped. Cease ye from man. Cease ye from yourselves. This is the gospel.
How many here can say, oh yes, how blessed I was in that deed when I stopped doing for myself and took the deeds of Christ to be my only hope. And so, as you walk out tonight, will you be saying, I have something to do? What do you have to do? What is God's word commanding you to do? Do you not hear? Do you not know? Is God not pointing his finger at something in your life and saying, this is the deed to be done? Oh, you might think, oh, but there's other things. Good things, lawful things, helpful things. You know God's pointing at something else, saying, that's the deed. That's what I'm saying needs to be done. What's God pointing to in your life tonight? What are you fighting? Are you saying, I'll do anything but that? Well, you won't be blessed. Whatever you do, if you don't do what he's saying you should do. If you're a sinner, what do you have to do? You have sins to confess. You have sins to forsake. Go out this evening saying, I will confess. I will forsake my sins. Are you a seeker? Go out tonight saying, I will seek my Saviour. I will seek him till I find him. And find him I will by God's grace. I have something to do. Is there somebody here inwardly laughing, humorous, joking, irreverent, who think nothing of these things and think they're something that's just to be treated as light and nothing? What have you to do? Go out tonight saying, I have a God to fear. I have a word to tremble at. This is something I must do. Is there a self-righteous person here tonight? What do you have to do? You must go out that door saying, I have rags to strip off and to burn. Rags of self-righteousness. Oh, let them be taken. Let them be burned up, as useless as they are. Is there a skeptic? Is there a doubter here tonight? Is there somebody putting question marks over the word of God? What do you have to do? You must go out tonight saying, I have doubts to flee from. I have skepticism to confess. I have question marks to rub out and obliterate. Is there a young person here tonight? What do you have to do? Well, as the apostle said, flee youthful lusts. Yes, go out saying, I have lusts to flee, to escape from, to run as fast as I can away from. I have something to do. Is there a tempted person here tonight? What do you have to do? I must be delivered from this temptation before it beats me and destroys me. I must go and pray. Deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation. Is there a backslider here tonight? What do you have to do? You go out there tonight and you say, I have a slide to halt. I have a downward spiral to bring to an end. I have 180 degrees I have to turn. I have to make my way back to God. Oh, how many there are here tonight. Everyone here tonight has something to do. We all know it. God knows it.
If it was possible, it could be written above all our heads. Not one here would have a blank. Some of us, it might only be one thing. Many of us, it's many things. It's a long list. And you might think, I have so much to do, there's no point in doing it. Because I'll never manage to do. But start at the beginning. Start by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of God. This is what He will have you to do. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Creed. To have a creed is one thing, but where are the deeds? Let us, by God's grace, leave this place tonight. With every one of us saying inwardly in our hearts, I have something to do. And let's do it. Let us pray. O Lord, we confess how little we have heard. We confess how much we have forgotten. We confess how little we have done. O Lord, show us what needs doing and help us to do it. In Jesus' name. Let us conclude singing in Psalm 41 from verse 1 to 4. Psalm 41 from verse 1 to 4. Blessed is he that wisely doth the poor man's case consider, for when the time of trouble is, the Lord will him deliver. Psalm 41, 1 to 4.